Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the appointment by Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein of former FBI Director Robert Mueller as a special prosecutor to oversee the Russian investigation and examine the possibility that the memo that Congress is now demanding about Comey's Oval Office meeting with Trump, at which the FBI director was allegedly asked by the president to back off the investigation into Michael Flynn, is the first shot across the bow, and that Comey has a number of incriminating memos that could be leaked incrementally, revealing even more explosive details of an amateurish and dysfunctional presidency. A former intelligence operative, Malcolm Nance, the author of The Plot to Hack America, How Putin's Cyber Spies and WikiLeaks Tried to Steal the 2016 Election, joins us to discuss the president's remarks today at a Coast Guard ceremony where he avoided any mention of the Comey memo but portrayed himself as a victim of the press and other unnamed forces that are out to destroy his presidency. We will assess the gathering storm engulfing a chaotic presidency and how long the few adults like General McMaster and General Mattis will allow themselves to be used as props making excuses for a commander-in-chief who increasingly is making it obvious that he is dangerously out of his depth. Then we'll get a different perspective from the growing assumption that Trump is heading for impeachment and speak with Mark Perry, an author and historian specializing in military foreign affairs and intelligence analysis. He joins us to discuss the possibility that a constitutional crisis could be averted by helping the president succeed rather than feeding into Trump's combative impulses. And we'll also look into his article at Politico, Why Americans Don't Win Wars Anymore, that makes it clear we should be spending less on the military and more on combating ignorance at home. Then finally, we'll examine whether the political and cultural divide in the country can be bridged and speak with Robert Jensen, a professor in the School of Journalism at the University of Texas at Austin and the author of Arguing for Our Lives, A User's Guide to Constructive Dialogue. He joins us from a blue island in a deeply red state, and we will discuss how the information that the mainstream media reveals daily about Trump's disastrous presidency does not penetrate the Fox Sinclair megachurch bubble that Trump's supporters inhabit. And joining us now is Malcolm Nance, a globally recognized counterterrorism expert and intelligence community member who has been deployed to intelligence operations in the Balkans, Middle East, and sub-Saharan Africa. He's the author of An End to Al-Qaeda, The Terrorists of Iraq, Defeating ISIS, Who They Are, How They Fight, What They Believe, and his latest book is The Plot to Hack America, How Putin's Cyber Spies and WikiLeaks Tried to Steal the 2016 Elections. Welcome to Background Briefing, Malcolm Nance.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you, Malcolm. And it's pretty hard to keep up with Donald Trump. I did a program yesterday with Ali Soufan talking about what is alleged to have happened in the Oval Office with the Russian foreign minister and Kislyak, the top Russian spy, the ambassador. And under normal circumstances, that would be a very current, relevant interview. And and lo and behold, Malcolm, today the same thing almost happened to us. Here we're just learning now that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has appointed former FBI Director Robert Mueller to serve as a special prosecutor to oversee the investigation into the Russian influence in the 2016 presidential election. So, it's really hard to keep up with Trump.
You know, I know. I'd really just like one day off. If it wasn't just from the Twitter, just from the news itself. But as we're seeing here with this late news, with the Deputy Attorney General now has directly injected himself into this, and he is now going to see that a career FBI man, Robert Mueller, is going to now find out what is going on in this case with the President of the United States, with the FBI, and all other actions related to the, Donald Trump's comment the other day where we had the impression that there was an obstruction of justice. This is now serious. We are at Watergate-level scandal at this point. And Donald Trump's legacy in the first, I believe we're at 118 days, is going nine times faster than Richard Nixon's.
And you're on MSNBC all the time trying to keep up with this stuff. So what's your sense of this runaway train?
Well, it's exactly that. It's a runaway train. You have a president of the United States who thinks that, he's Ray Liotta and Joe Pesci combined from the movie Goodfellas, who thinks that, can run the government as he ran a real estate conglomerate, just ordering people about and doing as he sees fit. And I don't know whether he learned quite a bit from his mafia friends in the New York City construction business, but I think he took the director of the FBI and thought that he could just cajole him and order him to do things, which if you look at the history of James Comey, his entire career, that is the last thing that man's going to do. He is a straight shooter. He's a Boy Scout. And, you know, even though he got involved in politics last year, the one thing he will not do is accept intimidation against to shut down a counter espionage investigation. And that is the investigation that Donald Trump wants ended. And that is serious. It implies that there's certainly a lot more information that we don't know about. And any president of the United States who thinks that he can turn off what could be a probe of Americans who are in league with foreign intelligence officers, this is not going to end well.
Well, but the Russian story from the Oval Office indicates to me, I don't know whether you've ever heard the audio tape of Donald Trump pretending to be his own PR man, calling himself John Barron.
Right.
This guy
John
was,
Barron, yeah.
Yeah, he was totally immersed in that celebrity, gossipy, tabloid world. That's what interested him. Now you have that same person in the White House who's able to brag to the Russians, I get the greatest intel, like I get the latest gossip. I'm sure he goes around on the golf course telling his buddies about, you know, the most sensitive secrets the U.S. has, because that's his mindset. I don't think there's any discipline there. I don't think there's any barriers between his old world and this new one that he's in. It's just like, wow, this is great. I'm getting some great intel.
Well, you're right. And I'm certain that he does that. So, you know, some presidents do that. They reveal information to, you know, usually senators or congressmen that they need to move on a particular piece of legislation. But a new word has been introduced into our vocabulary with Donald Trump with regards to management and operation of the government, and that's guardrails. And Donald Trump appears to have no guardrails. He is constantly going over the cliff. And it appears that his staff are always surprised. There is no check or balance for him, outside of his own, you know, inability to Twitter at any particular time. So he disregards all norms of the United States government, and he seems to have a contempt for how America has been run, or he has a ignorance that is so deep and so profound that he doesn't care. And I suspect that he's lived his whole life like that.
Well, today, before the Coast Guard graduates at the Coast Guard Academy in Connecticut, he basically took the tack, which is definitely working with his base, and that is that the press is out to get me in the deep state. He didn't mention the deep state by name, but he implied that I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to let them win. And, you know, I think it would be very dangerous in many ways, because that narrative works with his people. They think, you know, he's the savior, and that they liberal elite did him in. All you have to do is watch Fox News. That's their message, you know, that it's not that not that Trump's incompetent, that he's prevented from doing what he wants to do and what we want him to do by this amorphous thing in Washington, whatever they call it, you know, the deep state or the liberal establishment or the liberal elite or whatever. So that's what worries me, because I think that Comey's got Trump by the whatever, I can't, cojones, I guess I can use that word without the FCC mm-hmm. coming down on me. The fact is that I think that Comey has far more memos than the one that has just been released leaked through the New York Times. And my sense is that these memos are probably increasingly incriminating and more explosive, and that we could have a drip, 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 because Trump has declared war on Comey. He's called him a showboater, etc., and fired him, and I think that we're in for a rocky road. What's your interpretation of where we stand?
Well, I agree with you 100%, and I believe that Comey's memo was most likely the least explosive of all of them, and a shot across Trump's bow to let him know that these documents exist. And you might recall that Trump claimed that he had tape recordings or hinted that, you know, that Comey should be careful that he didn't have recordings of these things. Well, that would be awesome right now. And it would certainly tell us who is telling the truth. But Trump has bluffed and played this game throughout his entire career. And this is just, he is just not understanding the playing field that he's on. This is not like trying to hustle some lower district court judge or some, you know, deputy assistant district attorney in southern Manhattan. This is where he is going to meet the wall, and he believes that he has total and utter impunity to do whatever he wants. He hinted in one of the conversations that maybe we should start arresting journalists. As if it was a true possibility, not that it was some wild fantasy that no one should entertain. He's an unbridled, spoiled child, as it's been characterized in the media this week. And a temper tantrum from him could cost people their lives. I mean, I'm asked every day, is there a possibility that he could suddenly shift and attempt to divert and go to war somewhere, like, you know, finally provoke North Korea or carry out in a strike? It's also been said to me that he views everything through the prism of his own personal ego. There is nothing that he is satisfying for his family, for his friends, not even money. It's all about his own ego and how he sees himself, not how the world sees him. He lives in a bubble. So, you know, there is always that possibility, and it's terrible to think of it, that he could decide, and he has hinted that, you know, atomic weapons are viable tools, and he would want to be the first person to use one since Harry Truman. And that you know, I at this point, I would have to make that a viable possibility, that he would think that the only way out of this impasse that he gets, that if it goes deeper and if the talk of impeachment continues, is that he will do something rash.
And again, I'm speaking with Malcolm Nance, a globally recognized counterterrorism expert and intelligence community member who's been deployed to intelligence operations in the Balkans, Middle East, and sub-Saharan Africa. His latest book is The Plot to Hack America, How Putin's Cyber Spies and WikiLeaks Tried to Steal the 2016 Election. So what then, you've got McMaster and you've got Mattis, you've got a couple of adults there. Apparently you don't know how much he listens to them, whether, you know, he listens to Alex Jones as much as he listens to McMaster. It's quite possible that that's the case. But I don't know how long these guys, I know McMaster must have been really uncomfortable having to do cleanup for Trump the other day by suggesting he hadn't exposed sources and methods, when we learned, in fact, that he had, that they'd mentioned the town where this supposedly Israeli asset is, and that's putting his or her life in danger. So the question would be then, and by the way, his first intelligence briefing came from the State Department during the transition, and apparently these State Department briefers were just terrified. They gave him a sort of, tried to give him a round robin about how the world looks, and all he wanted to talk about, what would happen is a nuclear weapon hit New York. And they thought, good Lord, this is scary. So you're right about that. He has made some remarks about nuclear weapons that are scary as hell. But given that possibility, is there a firewall? Is there some way that he could be prevented? Like, remember when Nixon was getting drunk, when Watergate was getting to him, Al Haig told everybody to ignore what was happening, you know?
Right.
Don't take the call.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, during one part of my career, I worked at, I pulled temporary duty at a National Nuclear Command Post built into the side of a mountain, you know, a mile deep, and where they have a continuity of government facility, which shows, you know, the House on one side, the Senate on the other side, President in a big atrium, and they run a full-scale simulated atomic attack on the United States for all newcomers. Just to show you how crazy it gets, and for you to realize that there's nothing outside of the building, you know, of the, you know, the mountain that you're in, and you immediately become an ardent anti-nuke. Every military person was anti-nuke. For people who don't know it or understand it, This is it's almost like a very, very big firecracker. Donald Trump has the entire resources of the United States government at his fingertips. He could ask the people from Los Alamos to come in to explain it. Any number of experts at the Pentagon or the Department of Energy, which is now, you know, led by, you know, the former governor of Texas, Perry, and to explain and show him just what would happen. But that's not how he thinks. He thinks like a five-year-old, and his worldview is wrapped up in the immediate moment. You know, there's that effect of when an object is, you know, blocked from in front of a baby, that it disappears from their universe. And I think Trump is a poorly developed person, and outside of his own person, his own ego, his own whims and his own desires. I don't believe that he has anyone's interest in mind other than the people who elected him into office. And so long as he gets that adulation, I think he'll be relatively manageable. But General Mattis, General McMaster, who has just been horribly discredited and badly damaged to the point where they trotted him out the other day, and flat out no one accepted what he said as true, because he is now tied at the hip with Donald Trump. And so long as it comes out of Donald Trump's White House, it cannot be believed. But that's the effect of what happens when you have a pathological liar.
Right.
And in the position of commander-in-chief.
Right. And all of that decades of credibility that guy's built up. I mean, he's now it's roadkill like Sean Spicer, right?
Yeah. And Rob Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
The minute they acquiesce to a person who is clearly, clearly out of his depth. And I believe McMaster is doing this simply because he was an active duty general. He has been ordered, and therefore he is trying to maintain good order and discipline in the ship of state. And I think he believes that he is there to keep the president steady. And as we've also seen in reporting, Donald Trump does not like that. He says he calls McMaster a pain. He doesn't like the idea that he gets more attention than him. And I think he has a contempt that for McMaster's actually having an entire life of experience that he never had. And with that, he always has that, so to speak, Trump card, which is that he's president and he can order anyone with more experience around. I think that gives him his greatest satisfaction.
Right. Two scoops of ice cream and two nukes. I mean, it's crazy. But I believe you're absolutely correct, Malcolm Nance, that I think McMaster's in there, and I think a lot of people, I know he met with Brent Scowcroft when he first got the job, and Brent told him to try and take charge, and he's doing the best he can because you need an adult there. It's an unenviable position, and we need this guy, but we need more of them. But at the same time, it doesn't sound like it's enough. And so what do you think is going to happen here in terms of his own people in the bubble? I don't know what you can do to convince them that this guy's incompetent and dangerous and that they have made a mistake. What about the Republican Congress? They've been craven so far. Do you think they're going to step up and do the right thing? Because I really think this comes down to kind of some fundamental patriotism here.
Well, it does come down to patriotism, and now is the time that they're going to have to choose who they stand for. Do they stand for the nation, or do they stand for Donald Trump? And they are not the same thing. Unfortunately, I think that a lot of people are seeing so much chaff in the air, so much drama, as Mitch McConnell put it, that they are starting to lose track of what the story is. And I actually had a journalist from England call me and ask me, you know, which one of these stories is more important. Well, it's important to recognize that this is all one story. And that story is the story of the Russian hacking of the Democratic National Committee last year and their cyber warfare attack on the United States electorate. Everything stems from that. But Donald Trump's obsequiousness towards Russia, his almost slavish devotion towards Vladimir Putin, all of this is of the same story, and why Russia carried out the hack, why Michael Flynn carried out the communications he did with the Russian ambassador, why all of these individuals are being investigated by the nation's spy hunters. This is all one story. And the latest shoe to drop is that we now know Donald Trump tried to kill this story. And in trying to kill a counter-espionage investigation, he has essentially done the first act of impeachment, which is to commit obstruction of justice. And some people say that there, you know, there isn't an active investigation going on in which justice was obstructed. Well, there is. It's secret because it involves the nation's spy hunters, and it involves American citizens who may have been in active league or communication with Russian intelligence officers. It's as serious as it has ever been in the history of the United States, at least since 1780, when Benedict Arnold was sought after trying to give away West Point. We could have the greatest espionage scandal in American history since the revolution occurring right now.
Well, Malcolm Nance, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
And again, I've been speaking with Malcolm Nance, who's a globally recognized counterterrorism expert and intelligence community member who's been deployed to intelligence operations in the Balkans, Middle East, and sub-Saharan Africa. And his latest book is The Plot to Hack America, How Putin's Cyber Spies and WikiLeaks Tried to Steal the 2016 Election. We're going to take a brief station break and back with a different perspective on the growing assumption that Trump is heading for impeachment.